Son, and Holy Spirit. This Sunday, we stand between two commemorative events. Yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, a significant event in the life of freedom. You may all remember that night. There was great joy across the world as the wall became a symbol of brokenness, a symbol to be broken. And people started hacking away at the wall with mattocks and various things like that to break it down. And across Eastern Europe, borders of all sorts started to fall, and people were released from the captivity that they had experienced in communism. During that time, though, a couple of thousand people had been killed trying to get from East Berlin to West Berlin. And for them and for the many that were held in captivity, it was very dark days for the 30-odd years that the wall was erected. And tomorrow we celebrate, or we commemorate, don't celebrate, we commemorate the end of World War I on Remembrance Day. At the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month, the armistice was signed 101 years ago. That was a war that left a terrible legacy in the lives that were lost. Some 15 million people died in that war, and many more were injured and uprooted from their lives and dispersed across the world. Again, very dark days for the world in those times, but freedom was the beneficiary, and freedom needed to be defended, and freedom was what was gained. But even today, after many more wars have happened across the world, many people still do not live in freedom. Many people still live in the darkness of the world. And for many, even living in our own village, your own town here, the darkness still pervades people's lives. And in those dark days, people might ask, where is God? For surely, as one's suffering, God can feel like a completely absent entity, concept. Dark days. Over our scripture, we have, of course, looked over the past many stories of those that have been held in captivity but have been released. None more so than the Israelites who were released from slavery in Egypt. The covenant that Moses promised them not to be enslaved yet again. But the past bears on us heavily, as these two commemorative events that straddle this weekend testify to us. But our role as the church is to bring God into the present, to make God visible to the world, and to bring the light of Christ, the hope that is contained within that, out into the world to counter the immense darkness of the suffering and of those that find themselves in captivity. We are the bearers of hope. And we learn a lot from our past, though, that we carry forward as bearers of hope. The prophet Haggai reminds us in the Old Testament reading from this morning just what it is like to try and overcome those things in the past that have so ravaged a nation. Haggai was a prophet that was active in Jerusalem after the Israelites had returned from their slavery in Babylon. They had been captured and most of them had been taken away to Babylon. And when they returned, when King Cyrus allowed them to return to their homeland, their first thoughts was about rebuilding their own lives, rebuilding their houses, getting jobs, making themselves fit back into the community. But Haggai was reminding them that their focus needs to be on rebuilding the temple. And it was that focus that he called them to. He reminded them that the temple was where God dwelled, and that if they could remember the past and the glory that the temple was before Jerusalem was sacked, that they could carry those memories forward and that God would be blessed, or would bless the temple and would bless the community with even greater riches and greater splendour than what they had experienced in the past. That the silver and gold that would be showered upon them would be something that they could hang on to. So like us, we too are next year to celebrate what we have called, or the vestry has called, the Jubilee Year, the year of reflection about the role of this church in its community. It's a year where we are taking out to look at our past, to review our past, our 180 years of being a church in this community, and to try and understand more about the role of this church, what this church has been in the changing community. And we do it with a sense of hope that God will bless this community as we go into the future with greater blessings than the past. And that is what we will be doing next year, focusing on the things that have happened in this community and how God has been revealed to the community through each of those that have sat in the pews where you are sitting, who has taken God out into the world as a light into the darkness. Of course, the past is what is known to us. What is not known to us is the future. And even though in today's world there is so many people who are engaged in trying to predict the future, trying to understand what's going to happen in the future, so as to make preparations for it, we know that in the political world there is countless analysts who are commenting on what is going to happen to this country in the coming year as we head into a consequential election. And also, if you read in the paper yesterday, there was an article in relation to climate change and the work that has been done by the number of scientists over the past 20 or 30 years. And the article said that they had essentially got things wrong, because the effects of climate change were coming much faster than they ever predicted. And we needed to be ready now to deal with this. The longer we put it off, the more catastrophic it's going to be. So where those scientists early on thought it was going to be decades away, maybe even millennia, centuries, millennia, is coming much faster, and we need to be prepared. So in the gospel reading you heard this morning from Luke, the Sadducees were trying to trap Jesus about the future. They were trying to disprove he was the Messiah by trying to call him out for what would happen in the resurrection. And they presented him with this conundrum based on marriage and the relationships between brothers and wives. Of course, what they tried to do failed. That God wasn't, through Jesus, wasn't going to be entrapped as they were intending. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees were a literalist group. They really believed only what was written in the five books of the Torah. And nowhere there is it claimed that there will be a resurrection. And so they did not believe it. And so in trying to entrap Jesus, they presented that conundrum. But as he said to them, the resurrection is something that we don't necessarily understand, how it's going to manifest itself. But in the resurrection, we don't need to worry about the things of life. Marriage, those things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis today. That they will not be important in the time to come. What is important is to remember that God is a living God. That God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. The God of Isaac, of Abraham, and Jacob. And so for us as a community of faith, it is for us to take the living God out into the world, to continue to promote what God means to this world, how we are going to touch the lives of others by that little bit of God that resides within our souls. For it is that that breaks down the barriers of captivity and slavery. It is for us to take that out. And the second half of what we're going to do next year is to be looking for opportunities to do that, for researching this community that has changed so much over the last few years, and will continue to change significantly over the next 10 years. And whilst we can't predict the future, what we can predict is that this church can continue to be a vibrant presence in this community and to continue to serve it and to adapt to its needs, but always be taking out the living God into the community and comforting people by the knowledge that a God exists, that a God of hope exists, even in their darkness and their sorrow. So in 2 weeks' time, when our Stewardship Sunday, if you like, on the November the 24th, we're asking that you make a commitment to God and to this parish about what you might have to offer by way of supporting what we are trying to do by understanding our past and planning for the future. You would have received a letter from me outlining this plan and asking you to commit on the 24th to some form of support. Prayerful support we always need. Your physical presence and your skills that you have in ways that you can contribute to these two projects that we're trying to do. And it would be great to know what they are. And also financially, for this place can't operate without a steady stream of income to enable it to do the ministry that we are called to do. So I ask that you will take time in these next few weeks to pray about how you might support the work of this church in the very important work that we have in being the presence of light and hope in the world and continuing to be like that for many years to come. Amen.